In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for those most lost souls. Now for the lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like tamarisk in the desert, and he shall not see when good shall come. But he shall dwell in dryness in the desert, and in a salt land not be inhabited. Blessed be the man that trusteth in the Lord, and the Lord shall be his confidence. And he shall be as a tree that is planted by the waters, and spreadeth out his roots toward moisture. And it shall not fear when the heat cometh. And the leaf there shall be green, and in the time of drought it shall be solicitous, neither shall it cease at any time to bring forth fruit. The heart is perverse above all things and unsearchable. Who can know it? I am the Lord who searches the heart and prove the reins, who give to everyone according to his way and according to his fruit of his devices, saith the Lord Almighty. This concludes the lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who lay at his gate full of sores, desiring to be filled with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And no one did give him any. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried in hell. And lifting up his eyes, when he was in torments, he saw Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said to him, Son, remember that thou didst receive good things in thy lifetime, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a fixed great chaos, so that they who would pass from hence to you cannot, nor from thence come hither. And he said, Then, Father, I beseech thee that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torments. And Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would do penance. And he said to him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe one who again rises from the dead. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. You may be seated. Today we have this great providence that both in the ordinary form of the Mass and in the traditional form of the Mass, which we're celebrating today, have the exact same lessons. It followed yesterday too, at least for the Gospel. The Gospel yesterday was also the Gospel of the traditional Mass as well. And that's kind of a nice coincidence, a nice running together, hearkening back to the fullness of our tradition in the faith. And so today, both readings come from that. The prophet Jeremiah, we see something that is very interesting here, where Jeremiah, remember, he's the weeping prophet, always being attacked, and from the very get-go of his ministry, he was told by God, you're going to be unsuccessful. Nobody's going to listen to you, and everything you prophesy is going to come to pass. But I still want you to say it, even though the important ones aren't going to turn their hearts back to God. You still must be my voice. And tell them so that when they realize everything has come to pass, then they will realize their punishment is just. And then maybe after the fact, and after they take you out in many ways, then maybe the whole of the people will come back to God. But you're going to be a failure. And so here it is. He's going through here, and it may seem a weird thing to us, a strange thing, where it says here, is talking about his enemies. Cursed be the man who trusteth in his flesh and his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a tamarack in the desert. A tamarack is a weed in the desert, which is useless, which is plentiful there, and does nothing there. And he shall not see when the good shall come, but he shall dwell in the dryness and desert, in the salt land, and not be inhabited. And he's talking about the destruction that's going to befall those who don't turn to God, who remain there just in those saltless wastes. But then in the gospel, we have the story of Dives and Lazarus. And here's the answer to what's going on within the first reading. Dives and Lazarus. That's how you say in Latin, rich man, or rich, the rich one. Dives and Lazarus. That's why we call him Dives. And so as we go into this, we see a lot of interesting things that are here. Why is it, do you know, that this rich man is condemned? It doesn't say that he does any evil deeds, does it? It doesn't say that he went out carousing, that he went out doing evil things. It wasn't that he was unchaste. It doesn't say that he went out there and he cheated men and women. It says, you can understand from this that he probably didn't do those things. In fact, he probably was somebody who daily would, or weekly would go to the synagogue. Maybe even daily he would go out and good deeds, that he was an upright businessman, that he cared for his family, that he was a good father, that he did all these great things that we would hold as great virtues. But what was his sin? That's right. That he didn't do anything for the one who was outside his gate. But realize he didn't mistreat him, did he? He didn't do anything evil toward him. In fact, it says specifically in the scripture that he allowed him to eat those scraps which fell from his table. Those things that he didn't want to eat, he let him eat those things that fell down from there. So he cared for him, or rather, no, I said that wrong. He didn't give him the food, but he allowed him just to stay there at the outside of his gate. He didn't rush him off. How many in today's day, if they were to see a beggar just outside their gates, just outside their house, just outside their business there, would shoo them away and push them off in some sort of way? But he doesn't do that. He knows that Lazarus is there, and he allows him to exist. Allows him to exist in that way. But it's because he didn't completely give himself to caring for him, to raising up his state, that's the reason why he's condemned. Going further within the scripture, we find here that the person of Lazarus, who is put upon all these times, doesn't receive anything that's good, but begs there, and other people do take care of him. That's why he's able to live. But what is it that happens to him? It says here that the dogs come and lick his wounds. Does that sound like something that you would want to happen to you? No. Why would you not want the dogs to come lick your wounds if you got sores that are there? That's right, because it'd be painful. It'd be a painful thing for them to be able to do so. Let me tell you about the sores, though, here. One of the saints of the church, I believe it's Leo the Great, the great pope, he says this. He says that the difference between Lazarus and Dives, the difference between the poor man and the rich man, is this, that Lazarus had sores on the outside of his body. The rich man had sores on the inside of his body. Lazarus' sores made him distasteful to everybody who walked around. But the rich man's sores were inside and hidden. And so he was loved and honored by all those who were around. The good thing about Lazarus is that his sores were exposed. And because the sores are exposed, that means that they can find healing. That means that the contagion, the wickedness that was within him was out there and could be taken care of. And so when the dogs came and licked him up, what are the dogs? The dogs are represented in Scripture as what guys like me, the preachers, those who would preach the Word of God. Now, when I talk about things that are difficult, that are hard things for us to be able to accomplish, you don't want to hear it sometimes. Man, Father's saying this thing. I can't be talking about this person in that particular way. He's calling me on my stuff there. I don't like it. And I know that he here's a common retort that we have in our parish. Anytime somebody talks bad about our present bishop, you know that I'm going to come at you and say, stop talking about him like that. And I'm going to be an apologist for him in that way and say, no, because he is a good man who has a good heart. And so in the same way, you don't like hearing that. That's the way you don't like it when the dogs lick your wounds in that way. But when the dog licks your wounds, it actually heals the wounds. Why? Because they've got salt on their tongue, and salt heals in that way and drives those things out that are there. And so in this way, even though it seems like maybe something bad is going on, because his wounds are exposed there and he allows the dogs to lick him, what does that mean? He's allowing himself to be convicted in the very places where he's most wounded. So it's referring to the sacrament of confession, that he's allowing himself time and time again. He realizes his lowliness. He realizes his corruption. He's not hiding in the way in which the rich man is, but going into the confessional in that way and allowing himself to be healed over and over again and exposed. And even as it's painful, the pain is actually causing the great healing to him. And so he doesn't drive the dogs away. He doesn't push the dogs away, but allows them to continue to bring that healing, even if it wounds him, even if it pains him to be able to have it, because ultimately he knows it's going to heal him. That's the difference between he and the divus, the poor man and the rich man, the one who has interior wounds, which don't get healed and eventually come to his downfall, and the one who has exterior wounds, who he allows the preachers of God to bring healing and salve to him. Now, when it's finally the moment where the other one, the rich man, is condemned and Lazarus is consoled in there, what do we see there? We see the great chaos, the great thing that is between them, between the firmament where he is and the firmament where Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. We see a little bit further here something that he says, well, Father Abraham, I'm so slaked in my thirst here. I need something. I need something to give me at least a little bit of succor in this moment. So could he at least dip his finger, and carry him over to me so that I might be able to have at least the tip of his finger give me a drop of water? What is the tip of his finger referring to? It refers to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, as he speaks about it in the scripture, is the very hand of God. And the tip is saying, just give me a little bit of God's grace. Just a little tiny bit. Even if that's the rest that I have for all of eternity, I just want a little bit now. Because that'll give me at least some succor in my life. And so are the souls in hell. To have even just a small bit of comfort would be worth it. But ultimately, what is he not asking for? He's not asking to be with God forever. What do we see in this? That the souls in hell want to be in hell. They don't want the pains of hell, but they want to remain in hell. Why? Because they don't want to belong to God. That's why they remain in hell for all eternity. They've made their decision. They turned against God. They cling to their sins, their selfishness, the way that they want to do things their own way for all of eternity. So God confirms them in that movement there. But they don't want the pain that exists there. Just give me a little bit of grace. I don't want the whole thing of grace, and I don't want to be full of grace like the saints are full of grace. But yet there's something in him that longs for something, that is good, maybe not for himself, but even for others in some sort of way. So he has some semblance of a desire for others to be able to do so. Because he says, well, can't you just send somebody else to rise from the dead? Then that will make my brothers convert. Jesus is talking about himself right there, isn't he? Jesus is saying, look, even if somebody is risen from the dead, like I'm about to do, if they aren't going to listen to Moses, and if they aren't going to listen to the prophets and convert at their words, and if they're not listening to my words, who's giving them this very pointed movement right now, then not even somebody rising from the dead, which I'm about to do, is going to bring about their conversion. And so we see these movements that are going on here within the scriptures. We see that Divus has the wounds which are interior, which he doesn't do anything about, and thinks that he's doing great because he's so blessed in an exterior way and can hide those things. And so he keeps his wounds hidden, so he never goes to confession, never exposes those things, so he doesn't allow the dogs to come and to lick his wounds in that way. But that's what Lazarus does. Lazarus allows his wounds to be shown. He doesn't hide them from everybody, and he doesn't hide them especially from the ones who can give him help, which is through his ministers, through his priests in the confessional, to bring him back to God. And so because of that, that's the movement why Lazarus, if he drove those dogs away, he would also be in the same place. He would have received pain in this life, but also pain in the next life. But because he allowed those wounds, he's the one who is consoled in the next life, because the real thing that was wrong with him is the thing that is taken care of in this life, so that he can be prepared for the life which is to come. You are probably ones who are here at Mass today who do make use of the confessional, who do go to confession, who do get your sins forgiven in that way. But pray that you remain that way always, and especially to have that docility to the Holy Spirit. Pray that God would, in his mercy, find those rich men and women who are in your life and mine, who have their wounds hidden, and so they're not going to convert in any way. To have them in some way exposed. Exposed, even if it brings about a scandal within their own lives, exposed in such a way that the Word of God can actually touch them, and that they will come to a point where they won't kick those dogs away, those who are the priests, the ministers of the church, who actually speak the truth, so that they can have that solve, come back to God, and then return to him, and not have the fate of the Divas, but rather have the joy of being embraced by Father Abraham and embraced by Christ himself in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.